Inside presents.
I think it's very important that anyone who does science in the 21st century isn't in an ivory tower.
Now, existence, you see, is something that is spontaneous.
I think having the technology widely accessible, especially for free, is critical.
Science has great beauty, and with its great spiritual strength, will in time cleanse this world of its evils.
The real deep down you is the whole universe.
It's not what you know.
Welcome to Modcast, a series dedicated to UniSA's futuristic Museum of Discovery. Featuring interactive artwork and never-before-seen technology, Mod will make you question everything you thought you knew about everything. This episode, we look at humanity and our relationship with our world.
Modcast, it's not what you know.
What does it mean to be human? It's a question that has inspired reflection of our very existence since the dawn of our species. We've tried to reconcile the question through religion, science, art, and philosophy, but only really succeeded in creating more questions for ourselves.
Well, that's the end of the film. Now here's the meaning of life. Well, it's nothing very special. But try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try and live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations.
For Aristotle, the essence of humanity was the power of speech and a sense of right and wrong. French philosopher René Descartes summed up the human condition as, "I think, therefore I am," while Kantian thought says that humans are just animals endowed with reason. Either way, it's enough to bring on that same migraine you get when you start thinking too much about how the Simpsons keep predicting the future.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things? The things?
Maybe what makes us human is smaller and more easily measured, like our ability to create art and to be introspective, or our unique desire to make stupid people famous. Or maybe it's something more abstract, such as the way humans feel love, empathy, or pain. For Dr. Tasha Stanton, a senior researcher working with the Body and Mind Research Group in Adelaide, the way humans experience pain and how it can be managed presents a fundamental insight into what it means to be human. Tasha's work focuses on new ways to understand and reprogram our brains to interpret pain messages and unlock new ways to treat patients. Her work has shed light on how humans perceive their own bodies and how this impacts the way humans experience themselves. Here's Tasha explaining how virtual reality can be used to tap into and even alter how we see our own bodies, and the role technology can play in helping us to understand ourselves better.
It was really cool. So I was looking at people with painful knee osteoarthritis, and many of them have altered perceptions of the size and the shape and of their knee. And we did an illusion where they're wearing video goggles, and we got a camera that's pointing down, looking at their knee, as if they're looking down at their own knee. And then they can move it around, see that it's theirs, and in front of their eyes, we manipulate the video. So they look down and all of a sudden they'll see that their knee is like elongating, almost like stretching and tractioning. And while they're seeing that, we very gently pull on their calf with our hand, so pull towards their foot. So they get this weird visual information telling them that their knee is growing and touch information confirming it, that it's being pulled. And they get this very odd sense that their knee has actually grown or stretched. And for them, that was analgesic. So one illusion reduced pain by about 10 points on a 100-point scale. Repeating it 10 times, on average, reduced pain by about 20 points on that 100-point scale.
So maybe the Matrix wasn't too far off, as it seems that our own perception can't even really be trusted. What does it mean to be human if we can't even be sure our reality is reality? Here comes that Simpsons-induced migraine again. So if virtual reality can help us to better understand and treat ourselves, does the future see us moving away from our origins in the animal world and closer to a future with robots? Is the essence of humanity perhaps the fact that we're not robots, or that we're not animals either, but something entirely of our own creation? And most importantly, why aren't we all wearing cool hologram clothes like Back to the Future said we would be?
Great Scott!
So if we're not quite robots, but we're not quite animals, does that mean other species perceive fundamental experiences such as pain differently to us?
Oh, that's a great question. I actually don't know if we know the answer. I mean, certainly with humans, we get this direct ability to measure it by asking them. In animals, we tend to look at behavioral responses. So, for example, whether they're avoiding putting weight on a sore foot, or whether they're actually avoiding going somewhere, because that tends to be a painful environment or a stressful environment. So I think in the sense that we can see actually quite similar behaviors between humans and animals, which would suggest that pain is still seems to be playing a protective role, and it causes us to adopt behaviors to avoid having that situation occur. So I think in that sense, yes. In the sense of how many different things influence it, I don't know, because I guess it depends on what level of consciousness and ability to self-reflect we think that animals have, and I have no idea about any of that.
You can learn more about pain at the Mod exhibition, and it probably won't be nearly as painful as answering questions about what you're doing with your life at a family gathering.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
It seems like technology can teach us a lot about ourselves and what it means to be human, but is it possible for us to return the favour? Professor of Art and Director of the South Australian School of Art, Simon Biggs, has spent the last 25 years working with interactive technology and machine learning algorithms to explore the potential of the interactive relationship between humans and robots. His work has resulted in creative approaches to technology and produced immersive installations that challenge the boundaries between human and machine. For Simon, the divide between the us and them of man versus machine might not even exist at all.
What about if there is no difference between human beings and robots and computers and machines? What about if what we think makes us different isn't actually real? It's just an illusion. Something that makes us feel good about ourselves, but in fact isn't actually there, it's not meaningful. We learn what's right and wrong, not to hurt other people, not to lie, this kind of thing. And that becomes really inculcated in our identities, and for most people that's what makes us able to function in society. So there's this sort of like dark matter that's holding everybody together, both individually and socially. So it's not just about individuals having that moral framework, but a whole society having a more or less shared moral framework. So we all share in that knowledge. And yet we weren't sort of programmed with it, or were we? Because see, a machine can have that knowledge. You can put all that knowledge in a machine, and a machine will then always do this or it will do that. You know, it'll have a concept of this is right and that is wrong. And so, and that's programmed into the machine. And in a way, you could say that people are programmed the same way, but socially, not with computer code, but we program ourselves, or are programmed by the social interactions around us, and that those things have been going on for centuries, millennia. So what we are is an historical record of what it is to be human, but that is actually a social program.
Simon's work suggests that humans fit the definition of cyborgs, learning and constructing meaning from the environment around us. Simon compares machines to human babies, constantly collecting data and learning from experience. Maybe humanity doesn't exist at all, only a carefully constructed web of conventions and systems exist, and we merely learn and interact with it.
Most of us speak and listen and understand what each other's saying. We can read and write. Language is, to a great extent, the primary means by which we know what we know and how we interact with each other as social beings. But language is a construct, and it's an artificial symbolic system, just like a computer programming language. And so much of what we are is determined by those linguistic patterns that we've acquired over our lives, both individually and collectively. So you could look at society and people in a way as just phenomena or instances of linguistic activity, and you can then start looking at people not as identities or individuals, but you start looking at them as elements in a linguistic web. And when you start doing that, you start abstracting what the human can be considered. It becomes very easy to start equating people with other things like natural phenomena or computers. and machines, and saying, well, really, we're not that different. It's all part of the same continuum.
The final question of humanity that is still explored in painstaking depth through popular culture today is, what would it mean to be extra human, with traits exceeding those we already value? If you could have a superpower, what would you choose?
Telekinesis, so I can move stuff with the mind.
To be invincible so I could never die.
Flying, because it would be fun.
Pretty standard answers, right? But have you ever wondered how someone with a PhD in visual neuroscience would answer that question? Here's Professor Srini Srinivasan.
You know, if I could see into the ultraviolet the way a bee does to detect ultraviolet patterns in flowers, and also to navigate, because the skylight has a lot of ultraviolet light which is polarized, and it gives the bee a kind of a compass that it can navigate with, that'd be wonderful.
And an artist, what superpower would Simon Biggs wish for?
It might be really interesting to be able to exist in all times simultaneously.
Visit MOD from May 11th to explore more about pain, interactive technologies, and to maybe even discover your own superpowers.
For more information, visit mod.org.au. Modcast. It's not what you know,